It was in this boat place in Blyth, as I said, was overlooking the river. And there was a woman came in this night. Actually, we met Arthur Burt there that night as well. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And but on this night, we were having a great time, and there was this woman came in, and I think it was Elizabeth that brought her. And she was an alcoholic, and she was at various times throughout the service, she would be shouting and screaming, and I want to die and I want to go to hell because at least it'll be warm there, and you know, nobody loves me, all that kind of stuff, you know. And it was really, really strong stuff. And we started to pray for her, and we started to witness some manifestations. And anyway, we said, look, we'd like to meet up with you. So we met up about a week later, I think, at where Frieda and Elizabeth were in an upstairs flat in Blyth at the time. And that lady, we led her to the Lord that day. She died 2 weeks later. Wow. Right. There was a time and a purpose. There was a plan and a purpose and a time for us being there.
Do you know when you say that, sitting somewhere and you think somebody's hidden a camera? And you think this can't be real. Because we were sitting praying and this lady, bless her, she was like really kicking off and going, and I'm thinking, is that a camera? Just to see how good would you react. You know, when things go around you're crazy, you think, is that a camera? Is that any camera? Because we were in a place where a lot of people used. You know, it was used at the time. So when she was kicking off and really thinking, right, what's happening here? Because we went home and I'm thinking, was that a hit camera? You know, because it was so out of the comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're sitting here and you're playing nicely, then somebody just goes off on a one, you know, and it's, you just think.
We knew how to deal with it. And we
so
did
we
get a regular prayer.
We never said anything, we just prayed through it.
But it's interesting you talk about the cameras, because the cameras did come and recorded one of our services for BBC Look North, right? And we were there with some cameras. But moving on from there, we had some great times. Linda joined us when we were at the Park Suite at the Leisure Centre as well. And there was one occasion when, actually 2 weeks after we started to meet there, that's when Brenda got saved.
Amen.
And then Brenda was baptised some months later, when both Frieda, Esther and a few others, George and Josephine, all went through the waters of baptism. So we had a lovely time there. And again, we did that across at Bedleton Trinity Church. It was, you know, a fantastic time. We first came across Paul and Jackie Welsh, who were there as well. And then from there, we moved to the North Seton Community Centre. And on the way in, there'd been we rented it from them, and on the way in there was a Keep Fit class, and particularly on cold winter mornings, because they were doing all the jumping around and getting really hot and sweaty and stuff, they had all the doors open, so we came in to an absolute ice box, and we had once again some fantastic times there, because it was there when we met for the first time in January, that Ray Martin, who's now gone to glory, joined us there. And he brought something with him. He just brought this absolute maturity and peace and love that, you know, that we hadn't really experienced, I suppose, from someone like him. You know, when you used to look at Ray, he's a big man, you know, but his testimony was so fantastic. And it was our great privilege to lead in his funeral service when he did go to glory.
He did absolutely encourage us.
We used to, and all of this time, by the way, we were having house group meetings in our house. And there was times when we were up to about 20 people in our house. And this was also during the time that Lindsay was going through all of this bad time with her hands and the braces and everything, and all of this, you know, arts and issues going on as well. But, you know, we just had some fantastic times there. We learned a lot in these Bible studies and just praising God, and people were just getting touched by God, or you know, every week. And sometimes we'd go down to two or three of us, and then sometimes it would be 11 and 12 and 15 and 20. But you know, it was just fantastic times.
Arnold came along
just before he went to glory as well. So we had the privilege of spending time with him, and of course, Pat and Mike Bootle. And you know, Mike, he was with Wither at the very first, but Mike was just such a lovely man. Pat, gorgeous woman. And Mike got sore, he started to deteriorate, and his health was getting really bad, and there was times I had to go and lift him off the toilet and lift him out the bath and all this kind of stuff. But you know, it was a very great privilege during that time to be able to do that for him. You know, this is real serving. You know, this is what we are called to be, servants of God.
And you had a full-time job.
And I had a full-time job at the time as well. And if I just talk about those jobs, when I first started the church, I was doing parcel delivery. And then I went into being a full-time carer with Age UK. So that was a job that really humbled me and kept me really humble when I saw particularly how, unfortunately, society treats the elderly. You know, and see how even families treat their own parents and so on and so on. And then I went on to that, into a bit of a disaster, which was this trying to sell these recliner chairs and reclining beds and stuff, and oh, just terrible. I lasted 2 months, and it took them 6 months to come and pick the van up from the door. But anyway, we continued during that time, and then into that I went into a company called Lifeline Medical Transport, where for 3 months I was a courier driver, and then I ended up being the business development manager before coming into full-time ministry. So that was, all of these things were going on behind all of this in the church history. God's provided all the way along. We've trusted in him, we've been faithful to him, we've waited for him, you know, for everything. And there was one. We met up with Sean Edwards, who was the pastor in this church prior to us coming in here. And she came to the, she did a women's thing, a Women of Action event at the Parkhead place in where Nicola used to work. And we got very friendly with her. In fact, on that day we'd written a new song, and we took it and sang that song, and she couldn't believe it. She said that song was for her. She wanted so much. She was struggling with whether should she stay or should she go back to her and look after a very aging mother, and she went back. And anyway, we were sitting one night, and as all of this was going on, I was working, you know, it was full time plus doing this, and it was, things were getting really, really tough. And Lindsay said, "Should we pray about joining the Wesleyan Reform Union?"
Well, Sean had said that she wasn't in good health. And we had done it, she had been on hold, and she asked us to lead worship here. So we were actually in this building a couple of times leading worship, the way it was before. And we just felt it, a fantastic, we felt God. It was just wonderful. We loved it, even the way it was. It wasn't nothing like this. And then Sean decided that her mum was elderly, she lived in Wales, that this wasn't going the way she thought it was going. And the congregation here wanted this closed. Wanted all of this with the building and everything closed.
So we applied and went
and
down.
And applied anywhere. God could have done it anywhere.
Now we went based on that notion, but they were asking questions during this 2-hour interview I had about, you know, but what about the congregation here? And we said, but look, you know, we can carry on the work here. That doesn't have to stop. Anyway, so a few days later, after we'd had this interview, and Lindsay came with me, and we both ended up being part of that interview as well. And what happened was that a few days later, they rang me to say, "We'd like to offer you a position as a Wesleyan Reform Minister." Unfortunately, at the moment, there aren't any positions available, but until such comes up, you know, we'll keep in touch with you. And then they rang us in November. That was in the September. They rang us in the November and said, "We'd like to offer you a stipend, and would like you to continue the work that you're doing in Asherton, but would like you to have the building." Now, there's going to be a period of time in between when the building was, because in the state that it was in, it was a health and safety hazard, basically. But we said we would have come in and just used it like that and moved on from there. But the Wesleyan Reform said, no, we're going to get it refurbished. And once all of the trustees, the original trustees in the building had to be all dealt with and that kind of stuff, and the building handed back to the Wesleyan Reform. So that went on for some considerable period of time, where we met at the Wesleyan Reform Chapel and Guidepost. And so we went from a fridge into something much more like a church. And we had some great times there. We had some really great times there. And, you know, we were allowed. We had free rein to do pretty much anything we wanted to do. Dennis and Mary just said, "Get on, do it. You know, whatever you want to do to reach out into the community." So we did. So we put on a toddler group. we put on a coffee morning. The coffee morning came first. That was every Wednesday. Then the Friday diner that we had, where we would ask people to come in if they wanted off the street and basically have a dinner. And we did a Christmas dinner. Lindsay put together with help, you know, the Christmas dinner that we had, and served 20 people. You know, so it was really good, this stuff that was going on. We then set up the toddler group, and that's been now going for 2 years. So we've had a choir. We tried that, but that was just, it was too much, the choir thing. It was because it ended up me having to rearrange stuff, and it was just not working. But we had some great times there. All of this time, this was going on, right from the very outset of the church. Sue brought this name of the church, the Word of Life Church, and we felt and prayed about it. This was the name that this, what we are, it's what we're about. We didn't know that, but at that exact same time, people from the Wesleyan Reform were in this building praying about what are we going to do with it in the future. So this is 7 years ago we're talking about. And Jeff Lee, who was the tutor, our tutor, had been praying in here, and he said these words: "Lord, I pray that the Word of Life would flow from this building." We named the church the same name, knew nothing about it. And that's how we end. And then we ended up in here, yeah. Word of Life, Wesleyan Reform Union Church.
And
they've blessed us so much. Uh-huh. We attended the first conference, have now been to three. We even on the second conference, we were the ones leading worship. On the third conference, we were leading worship. We had it on the second conference, they were interviewing us about how things were going in the new building. And, you know, they've supported us. In all of that time, we've had this wonderful relationship with various people. Some of them you've met, you know, yeah. Last year, David Rooksby and his wife Sandra were here. Cliff and Judith that were here recently. You know, Colin Braithwaite, who was the General Secretary at the time, he came. And just beautiful, beautiful people. What we knew of the Wesleyan Reform Union was that they were people of the Word. And I think you get a sense of that from when Cliff was here a couple of weeks ago. You know, it was that they are people of the Word. They might do some things which are traditional in some areas, in some churches, but in others it's very lively, just like we are.
Collectively, though, that individual church is under the big Wesleyan Reform banner. So that they're dotted all over, but they come together, the union, with what the statement of faith stands for and what the Wesleyan Reform Union are about. Sometimes they all have, some of them lead contemporary worship like we do, some of them lead like old fashioned traditional worship. But when we've been just blessed at the conference because they're such welcoming, lovely people, the grounding is there. The grounding has been prepared. So it's a firm ground to build on. And they've all got issues like dwindling congregations, things that aren't going right. And they're looking, you know, to come outside of the box of where they've been. They're willing to try to have, you know, other people input in it, and they've just loved on us amazingly. And they didn't know who we were. So we went for an interview. You know, we've been so blessed. God provided the way. It's nothing to do with us. And we're getting the building next door. So this was all refurbished and done out.
It's amazing when you think of all of that, and when you there's often a time we use the jigsaw analogy, you know, that God puts the pieces in place and then just, you know, fills in the gaps, so to speak, and put the right pieces in the right places, the right people coming at the right time. You know, through all of this time, you know, we Violet's been with us from the beginning, you know, and we've just loved together, we've just enjoyed together and done so many things together. Since we come into this building, then obviously Jackie and Paul join us, Graham and Val join us, you know, and as you are here now, you are here with us. And it's a wonderful journey together. You know, the right people have come into the church at the right time. You know, to the most recent, to Gordon, and recently going through the waters of baptism. Just a fantastic time. And many, many times, you know, we've gone across to that church in Bedlick, and we've had a lovely time of fellowship together and of worship together, and then of course when we come to do the baptism. And you know what, I really believe in my heart of hearts that God has something greater planned than even just this. I believe, you know, we're going to be stretched out from to the right and to the left. And you know, all the way through, and I'm going to tell you something now, because every single day of the past 7 years, we've just had to learn to trust in God. Whenever I've struggled with anything, should I do this, should I that, all I ever get is trust in me. You know, because I believe God doesn't want to show where the steps ahead. He wants to show where, as we're going along, trusting in him. Right? And it's a great lesson to learn. That, you know, as you're taking each step, your faith grows stronger because you see what God's doing. You see it all of the time. And you know what's wonderful is we've got this book here that we bring out every year on the anniversary. And we ask people to write something in it. Just your thoughts. Put your name to it. Because when we've looked back at it and we've seen what people have written. You know, I was just reading this morning what Ray Martin had written. You know, about the road that we are on is going to be greater and greater and greater to his glory. And this is what we're about. Right from the very outset, we said we want a church as it should be. Where you can come and if you're having a bad day, just tell where you're having a bad day. But just know and we can pray. You know, there's people come here as you've all come, as you are. There's none of us perfect. Now, really, it's time for us to understand that none of us are perfect and none of us are going to be perfect until we get to glory. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, you know, some of us have got one stick and plaster on. Some of us have got many on. Right? Because we're coming to God. He's asked us to come to him as we are. And as we come to him as we are, those wounds get healed over time. Those, every time you take that step of faith, it get you. God just heals you from the inside out. And it's a marvellous, marvellous journey. And those of you that are new to it, it just gets better. It gets better and better. Yes, you have tough times. Yes, there are times when you think, oh, can I be bothered to get out of bed today? But as soon as you get up and start rejoicing in God, that's it. You're off and you're on your way on another new day. So those have been the 7 years, just as a background. The reason why we started was that God gave me a vision of a dozen wells of salvation, uncapped. He showed me up in this prayer mountain up in the borders of Scotland, there's two ways. You see two paths before you. One, the shepherd where he leads his sheep every day. But another one, a much more difficult one. That's where I'm taking you. That's what he said when I was up on that mountain. A few weeks later, I met Lindsay and we were married 6 weeks later. 2 weeks after that, the church was born.
Yeah.
The timing that God has for us, the plans that he has for us, is absolutely so amazing. And let me tell you, it's just going to get better and better and better as more people come and give their lives to Jesus. You know, this is my job isn't like is to bring people in. My job is to give you instructions in order for you to bring people in, right? My job is to instruct you not to be like me, but to be like Jesus, right? And we are all, each and every one of us, called to be servants of God. Right? And we do that in whichever way that we do it. We've had summer fairs, we've had Christmas fairs, we've had all sorts of things. But, you know, really, as soon as we open this and start telling people about Jesus, that's when the rubber hits the road. Because this is what it's really all about. Yeah? We are here to preach the gospel. To make disciples, to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're calling. We've been blessed over these past 7 years. I'm just going to finish with one more thing. Because there's an old saying, and it's very, very true, that behind every man is a good woman. Right? My wife has stood by me for the past 7 years. She's been everywhere with me. She's done things with me. She's helped me. She's supported me. And I just want to tell you, Lindsay, I love you for what you've done and how you've been in our marriage and in this church. Together, we've got this far. Together, we're going to see much greater things. Together, with us all, we are going to see the glory of God fall upon this place like it's never fallen before. I believe we're in for a season of Shekinah glory hitting this place, wiping us out. You know, we might be lying on our backs for an hour or two, but the Shekinah glory of God is coming and going to dwell in this place permanently. There's going to be in this town a transformation. I'm not seeking revival, I'm seeking transformation. Because revivals don't last very long. We want a permanent habitation of God in His Holy Spirit in this place and surrounding this place, that people out there are going to not be able to walk past the place without crying, coming in here, crying their eyes out and saying, just take me as I am, Lord. Because that is what we are about. That's what we are about. That's what we need. That's what we are here for. And that's what we're here to deliver. So once again, Lindsay, thank you for standing with me. Will you just come up here?
I just have to say something. I don't normally like talking, but you know, in front of people, I mean, but God, honestly, when you trust in God, it's amazing. Because me, you know, thinking that I'm just going to be tapping along beside Michael and let him do all the stuff. Let him do that. That's his job. I'll just make up the tea and I'll just be there. That was my vision of the church. But you know, God is amazing when you trust Him. And sometimes we go kicking and screaming. I didn't want to have... I mean, I literally had braces on my hands. I couldn't do the basics. And the pain was horrific. And through that pain and sitting, God ministered to me so much. And you know, Michael went out to work and provided, you know, we're on the shoestring of everything. And God is the provider of everything. And I've learned to trust. Basically trust. When God takes you out of your comfort zone and puts you somewhere, you literally have to trust in Him. We can't do it in our own thinking. We can't do it in our own strength. And we just can't do anything without Him. I couldn't do nothing without God in my life. Through this process of, through when I was sitting in pain, 12 songs were burst. I'm not a songwriter. I can't write music. You know, God fed me. And I would just, like, we're coming from work, and I'd say, come on. And He would just strum it. I would sing this melody, and He would just strum it, and God provided that. And, you know, when this was going to close, and we learned about it, and I came with Michael Flynn, I think it was, there was a few others, stood outside of here, and we prayed. And it wasn't for us to get the building. It was literally for God's work, not just to be washed aside. There's a 92 year of prayer put in this place. This has been here 92 year in this town. So there's been a lot of prayer. And I stood out there and I just said, Lord, let Your will be done. It's not for us. You know, it's just for anybody. Let it be Your house. Don't let it be a pub. Don't let it be, you know, a shop. Don't let it be anything. This is holy, sacred ground. This is God's ground. It's been prayed over 92 years. So we stood out there and prayed about it, for the word of life to come from this church. And it's been an amazing journey. You know, I watched Michael grow immensely in his preaching and his service. And he would do anything. He went out to work and literally wiped backsides. Because he knew he had to. God humbled him so much to go, bathe people, look after them. And he learned something new about how fragile life is. You know, how God takes us on a journey when we're willing to go. And it's just amazing that He puts the puzzle and the picture together. So we've grown together in my marriage. I didn't know this man. I mean, God told us a year before that He would assist me. And I said, no, you're wrong. Because I thought at the time he was in a relationship. I didn't know anything about this man. Millie phoned us up out of the blue. I'll come and meet you at your house. We'll start a house club for her and Mal came. That was out of the blue. When I look, God's just put the jigsaw into this beautiful picture. And you know, I didn't know this man. He went out for one date, asked to marry, and I said yes. We got married 6 weeks later. I didn't know this man. God knew. I had messed up so many times before. God didn't know this man. So God told me, I said yes, we're married 6 weeks later. In fact, we would have been married earlier had Sid not had a replacement. We would have just gone, didn't it? So God has provided and we've been faithful. Yes, we've had times of despair. Yes, we've had times oh, we're doing the right thing. Yes, we've had times where we've had to take, you know, arrows and knives out our backs. But we've been so faithful in understanding that God brought together for his glory. It's not about us. It's being faithful. He took me on a journey where I had to surrender all. Didn't like it because I'm not a surrendering. I like control. I'm a mum of four boys. I've been on my own. I've had to make decisions. I've had to do things in my own strength. So really, when I was put in a place where I had to be still, where Birth to Songs came from, it wasn't a natural position for me to be in. I didn't really want to be there at all. And Michael would come in just smile. Because God was ministering, I didn't know at the time, he was getting rid of quite a bit of dross in there, and he was ministering. And we've just grown closer together through God, whereas one, and we just want to do God's work together. I never thought that he would give me songs. I was just going to be the do-up at the corner. Never thought that I'd be writing songs, never thought, listen this, I'm doing a theology course. This person who can't spell very good is doing a theology course, and God's taken me on a journey to feed me and grow, and I've grown so much. Mike has encouraged us. You know, we want to work together for God's glory. It's not about us. It's about feeding out there, building up the church and letting it go and really building each other up in everything that we do. It's, you know, we've been faithful many a times, and we have had times where we've thought, oh, we're doing the right thing. Has God shown the right thing? Are we on the right track? But we've just been so faithful because God shows us something and he puts us right back where we need to be. There's been a lot of tears, there's been a lot of pain, and it hasn't been easy. As one of the songs, you know, we found out it's not easy. But God is so awesome and faithful. If we are willing to surrender ourselves, but to be filled up by him, because I wouldn't be any other place. There's been a lot of pain and hurt over the last 7 years. But where I am now is where I want to be with God and my lovely husband, because without him I couldn't do anything. I'm nothing without him. I'm nothing without Michael. The fact is that we've been brought together to do God's work for his glory. It is not about us. We love your support. Thank you so much for your fellowship and for being there and just the trust that you have. And we just want you to be so on fire for this work and next door and for the people out there. You know, be who you are in Christ and trust. Because we've had to literally trust in everything we do. We trust every month that our bills are paid. We literally don't want anything other than to serve God for his glory. And it's been an amazing journey, and I look forward. And I love this man. He's everything to me. And that was through God. Thank you.
So, that's where we are now. What does the future hold? I've just said it. Transformation. Shekinah glory. You know, if you don't know about Shekinah glory, go to the Old Testament and look at when the glory of God filled the tent. That, I really believe, we're going to enter into a season of that Shekinah glory. And I want to encourage you today, if you're struggling with something, surrender. If you feel defeated, you're not. You're living on the victorious side. Yeah. Right? Jesus went to the cross and we live in that victory. Don't ever forget that. No matter if there's stuff going on at school, stuff going on in the home, stuff going on in your workplace, if it's your own business, trust in God. Surrender it to him, because he never, ever will let you down. There's promises in the Bible that are rich and deep. It says, you know, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's the same today, yesterday and forever. Because he's the same, that means he doesn't change. His righteousness and his glory and his judgment are there, and they're in the same and equal amount each and every day and all the way through in eternity. And I look forward to that day when we don't need the sun shining upon us anymore. because the glory of God will be our light. Just read the last chapter, or the last two chapters of the book of Revelation, if you want to see a picture of heaven. And you know, that's where we're headed together. Amen. We might go all at the same time if Jesus comes back one day when we're all worshiping. That would be fantastic. But we might go individually before then. Whichever way, we know which way we're headed.
We had prayers up all along here, and it was when we opened the building for the churches together.